Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. We'll see how far we get tonight. We're in verse 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. We dealt last time with the Christian and their attitude towards the government. Remember, we dealt with that. Well, tonight we want to deal with the Christian at work. The Christian at work. You know, we all have to make a living. Now, some of us, you know, that's over. You're retired and, you know, but it's still, I think it's extremely important that as Christians we understand what a work ethic is and what a proper Christian work attitude is. And since most people who work do work for someone, it's a company, a small business, of course, some are employers where you work for yourself. But I think there's a way we can apply this attitude to each and every one of us. And we got a few passages we're going to look at tonight. First Peter, we're going to turn after, in just a minute, to First Corinthians, and then we'll look at Colossians. But we'll start right here. Verse 18, servants. And since we're all servants, none of us are kings, none of us are masters, and since we're all servants, let's apply it to ourselves. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. The word is with all respect or reverence. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward, those who are not so good. Not just the good and gentle, but the not so good, the froward. It can mean to be harsh, to be... You know what it means to be contrary? It means to be difficult to deal with. Nobody's ever had a boss like that. But if you ever did, somebody that's just very difficult to deal with, that's kind of what it means. Dave, we want to get you a microphone.
Yeah, I was looking. The Greek word is... scoliosis, which is where we get scoliosis. So you're working for somebody who's just all bent up.
Yeah, it actually can mean crooked. That's part of it. You know, instead of being straight arrows, they not so much. Also to the froward. For this, verse 19, is thankworthy, commendable, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, what glory is it when you be... For what glory is it when you be buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and you suffer for it, and you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. We are going to focus basically tonight on verses 18 and even verses 19, the Christian's attitude in the workplace. What should our attitude be towards our employer? And I do believe this is important, that I do believe the Bible's a modern book. It has modern application. And I don't believe many Christians ever hear that they should behave a certain way at work and have a certain attitude towards their employer, the company they work for. I think that's been lost on the current generation. He says, servants, we would say today, we would say employees, be subject. That means, you know, obey, take a subordinate role, to your masters with all reverence, respect, and again, not only to the good and gentle. It's easy towards a really good boss or a good supervisor. but also to the froward, also to the froward. Now, back at the time when Peter wrote, and we're going to read something that Paul wrote as well, but back at the time, estimates are that Rome controlled the world in the ancient days, the ancient European world. Estimates are maybe around 60 million slaves were controlled by Rome, by the Roman Empire. There were slaves throughout the Roman Empire, and they weren't all busy doing menial tasks. You know, it's not like the Egyptian overlords over the Israelites making them make bricks without straw. The slaves that Rome conquered, many of them came from the Greek world, which was highly educated for its time. I mean, there were scholars, there were artists, artisans, craftsmen, tradesmen of all kinds. There were doctors, and many of these teachers, many professors, many of these were slaves. So it could be easy for a person who was a slave, you know, you're going to feel a whole lot of resentment towards the fact that you're no longer a free person, that you have to answer to somebody. That can cause a whole lot of animosity, a whole lot of tension, and you become a Christian, and not everybody knows or knew then or knows now that your attitude should be different. As a Christian, your attitude should be different. We'll keep our finger here, but I'd like for you to make your way with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to read a couple of verses. This is what Peter said. I want us to see what Paul said. Peter and Paul, you know, they were on the same page. He says the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll read a couple of verses over here as well that deal with the same subject. Beginning in verse 20. 1 Corinthians 7:20, where Paul writes, "Let every man abide, remain, continue. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." In the same calling. That it has to do here with your occupation, your profession, your rank in life. That's the way Barnes translates it, your occupation. Don't get the idea that your occupation is not a Christian one. You know, in the Bible sense, every single one of us is a missionary. Every believer is a missionary. You're a missionary at your workplace. And as long as the work that you do is honest, that's criteria number one. Is it an honest job? Are you making an honest living? If it's honest, if it renders a genuine service to others, that's an important consideration. A service and not a disservice. And if you don't mind being found doing that when the Lord returns, you know, if it's not something that you're ashamed to be doing, you know, work is a respectable thing. Work has dignity, no matter if it's a menial job, if it's sweeping floors, whatever it is, it has dignity in the eyes of the Lord. We're to do our work as unto the Lord. Here's what he says. You abide in that occupation or that profession wherein you are called. And he goes on, verse 21, are you called being a servant? Well, I'm a servant. I'm a bond slave. How can I serve the Lord? I got to get out of this. I have to escape. I have to do something different. Well, the Lord says, don't worry about it. Care not for it. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be bothered about it. He says, but if you may be made free, that's preferable, absolutely, if there's a way you can. But he wants us to know, verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's free man, likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's slave. He says, you are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. You are bought with a price. The idea here is you're Christ's slave. You belong to him. And when he says, don't be a servant to men, he's talking here in a spiritual sense. You don't put yourself in spiritual slavery to a person, to a man. It's one thing that you can honor and respect a godly leader. But, you know, a servant obeys their leader unconditionally. When it comes to our human leaders, we obey them conditionally. We obey Christ unconditionally. Our human leaders and even our spiritual leaders, we obey conditionally. We follow them as they follow Christ. We're not to be starry-eyed worshipers of a human idol. No matter how popular that person may be, you and I always have to be discerning. We follow as they follow Christ. We praise God for godly leadership wherever we find it. Praise God for godly men and godly women. But let's always remember, we don't follow them. We will learn, we will grow, we will even submit, as the Bible says, Hebrews 13:7 and Hebrews 13:17. We will even submit as long as we're following them as they follow Christ. But if they lead off a precipice, a spiritual precipice, we're not following them. And if they stumble, if they fall into sin or into compromise with the world, we're not following them. Because remember, you are Christ's servant, verse 22. You are bought with a price, verse 23. You belong to Christ. Christ's we are. He's our Lord. He's our master. Ultimately, we follow him. Brethren, verse 24, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. That is, right there where you are, in your workplace, in your sphere of influence, you serve God right there. You be a light right there. You serve him with all your heart. You be a missionary right there. You shine the light of Christ. And, of course, the idea of always being that slavery is not a good thing in the ancient world. It was never a good thing. And if a person could lawfully be made free, that's what the Lord was talking about. Be made free. If you're stuck in a place where you are, praise God anyhow. Serve God anyhow. Keep a good heart. Keep a good spirit. Don't let anything rob you of your peace or your joy. Be diligent. Be responsible. Be trustworthy. Be reliable. Go the second mile. Do a good job. And you know what the Lord can do? He can take you out of the prison like he did with Joseph and promote him to the palace. But it depends on our attitude, our heart, our willingness to serve. Amen. So whatever our occupation, serve the Lord right there. Serve the Lord right there. We can glorify the Lord in it. And here's the principle I want us to come to. It's in Colossians chapter 3. So you still have a finger in 1 Peter, but now I want you to make your way over to Colossians 3. Paul deals even further with this subject and sheds a little bit more light on it. The idea here being to serve your master. In this case, we will substitute employer for master. Serve them as you would serve Christ. Colossians 3, we'll read beginning in verse 22. Colossians 3 and verse 22. Servants, again, instructions. You know, you might be surprised how often the Bible addresses this subject. It's a shame that many Christians are never really taught about what their actions should be and what their attitude should be in the workplace. Actions and attitudes in the workplace. Your Christianity is supposed to influence every part of your life in every place you go, including the workplace. Servants, obey in all things, not in some things, but in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. Singleness, the idea there being sincerity of heart. And, you know, with a true heart, it's not hypocritical what you're doing. It's not, you're not self-seeking. You're serving from a true heart, fearing God. And then notice verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Heartily, what does that mean? Do it from your heart. Or as Williams translates it, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Whatever you do, he says. Now, he's talking to servants, so he's talking about their work. And sometimes their work was menial, tedious, difficult. Sometimes it was frustrating, especially when you're dealing with a, you know, a grouchy boss. Here's what he says. Whatever you do, do it grumbling. Do it with complaints. Do it with a grimace on your face. No, do it heartily from your heart as unto the Lord, as though you were doing it to the Lord himself, as though the Lord was your boss and he's the one who told you to do that. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. And not unto men, knowing, verse 24, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong will receive for the wrong which he's done, and there is no respect of persons. I like verse 22 where he says that you're to obey not with eye service as men pleases. You know what that means. I've talked about that before. It's not when you look in to see when the boss is coming because you're goofing off. You're sitting down doing nothing, talking on the phone, playing video games or whatever, and the boss is coming. You jump up and act busy. Oh, I'm working hard over here. Whoo! Tough day. Not with eye service as men pleases. So you work when they're looking. And as soon as they walk out of the room, you back to playing on the phone again or whatever it used to be. Let's get the phone to the phone. Let's get the microphone. See, I wasn't all wrong. Microphone.
You know, Brother Wesley, you never know why the Lord puts you in a certain workplace either. And when I was working my last company, this boss, he was very powerful within his field. And I had a wonderful working relationship with everyone. And when I left, they were really upset I was leaving. But his grandson, as the Lord would have, got involved with my grandkids. Now, this is a big, powerful guy in his field. And I've since left. And my grandkids came to me about, 4 months ago, and they'll say, "You'll never believe who got saved." And it was his grandson.
Praise God.
You never know. And I would often be doing things that I didn't want to do. And the Lord always managed for me to find a way to back out of these things gracefully. And I did. And I left on very good terms. And the grandson got saved.
How about that?
So that could lead to lots of things.
Amen. Amen. So not with eye service, like a man pleaser. Verse 23, in all the work that you're given to do, do the best you can. That's the idea. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do the best you can do. Do the best job you can do. And remember, you're serving the Lord in it. You're actually serving the Lord in that job, in that field, in that workplace. You're serving the Lord. And you know that your real master is the one who pays. He's the one who really pays, right? So in verse 25, you know, he also reminds us those who do wrong, they're going to receive for the wrong they've done. Christ has no favorites. He will punish the wicked. He will reward the good. So, but notice again our attitude. This is the Christian's attitude, verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters. That was the same thing we were told as a member of our society in government. We're to submit to them, we're to obey them, we're to have an attitude of respect towards them. It's what we're told in the workplace. The Christian's attitude is one of subjection and submission. It's an attitude of humility. Paul repeats this in his sister epistle to the Ephesians, almost verbatim. We'll take the time and turn there as well. You just turn back a couple of books from Colossians. The next back is Philippians, then Ephesians. We'll read a passage, chapter 6 in Ephesians. It's a Bible study, so we don't mind turning to a few passages, right? This is called the sister epistle to Colossians because it covers much the same ground, and some of it, Paul says, almost the identical thing. So we're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read beginning in verse 5. Who is he talking to now?
Servants.
Isn't this something? When he wrote to the church in Colossae, he addressed this subject. When he wrote to the church in Ephesus, he addressed this same subject. When Peter wrote his epistle, he addresses this same subject. It must be an important subject. It has to be important for them to mention this over and over and over again, because the Christian's attitude has to be different. In the workplace, has to be different from the rest of the world. We're not like the world. We're not like them. Servants, he says, be obedient, verse 5, to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, again, with respect, in singleness of your heart, genuine heart, sincerity of heart, as unto Christ, as unto Christ himself. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God. What is that? Do your job. Doing your job from the heart. He says, it's not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And then he goes on to talk to masters, those we would call them today the employers. But we'll save that for another time, because tonight we're dealing with the Christian in the workplace, and that's you, me, everyone else who has a job. This is to be the Christian's attitude towards their employer. Our duty is to shine. Our duty is to be a light right there in the workplace, in a world where people will get over on you if they can, where people will shirk their responsibilities if they can, where people will be negligent instead of diligent, where they will show up maybe, where there is a great deal of irresponsibility, you are to be responsible. You are to be reliable, trustworthy, honest, ethical, a man or a woman of integrity. That's the way we ought to live in the workplace. Always respectful, even to people who are ugly to us, always respectful. That's the Christian's attitude. And verse 7, he says, with goodwill, notice, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, with goodwill. So, back in our text, if you'll make your way there again, you kept your finger in 1 Peter 2, Our text was verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. One version translates the word froward to the unfair or the surly. You know what a surly person is? Just a grumpy, miserable, impossible to please person. But also we're to have this idea towards the surly. Your duty and my duty in the workplace is to have our hearts and attitudes right towards our employers, and I believe this is very important today. If you talk to employers, the number one complaint they have is that it's virtually impossible today to get responsible employees. That is, people who will actually do the work that they're paid to do, show up on time, show up with a good attitude, and actually do a good job. And you and I, that's your call and mine. Your call and mine is to bring our Christianity right into the workplace and let our light shine right there. You know, as a Christian, I'll get to you one second. As a Christian, we should be personally concerned about the company or the business we work for. You should be concerned for them, and you should pray for them. You should pray for that company. Pray that they prosper. Pray that they do well. You should be respectful towards those that supervise or employ you, and you should look out for the good of that business or that company. You should treat it like it was your business. Treat it like it's yours. And treat it like you would want your employees to work. You work as an employee like you'd want your employee to work. That's the attitude you'd have. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, some of you know I'm a landlord. I have some rental property. My family has had rental property all the way back to, you know, with my dad. We inherited and then went on from there. I love it when we have a tenant who actually will take care of our property, who will move into one of the apartments and actually take care of it. I mean, actually take care of it. And can I tell you, it's the exception rather than the rule when that happens. We've lived in our house for 13 or 14 years now. 13 years? 2006 we bought this house. The house was built in 1999. It's got the original paint that was on the walls when it was built. We've lived in it for 13 years. The paint's still good. It looks great. The paint still looks great. 13 years we've lived in it with the big giant dog. Now, I can rent an apartment to somebody, and in 6 months, the entire apartment needs to be repainted. Entire apartment. I mean, even ceilings need to be repainted in 6 months. How can that possibly be? We can live somewhere in 13 years, and the walls are fine. But you know what it tells me? People don't take care of things, other people's property. They don't take care of other people's property. However, you and me have to have a different attitude. We should be concerned for our employer just like you would want your employee to be if you were hiring. Okay, we had a couple hands up. Brian, you first.
A number of years ago.
I think, talk right into it. Let's see. Just talk right into it.
A number of years ago, I worked at a spa dealership on veterans, and the owner just came in the evening. He worked for the post office. He was a little closer, okay. And he would come in the evening, and after I was there for only a few months, he came in there and he's looking at the sales that I had made. I was the only one working there at the time, and he told me he says, "You are the best salesman that we have ever had. We've never had anyone make the number of sales that you made. It's like people want to give you money." That's what he told me. And it came to the point in time, and that's what I was doing. You know, I was looking out for his business. I was managing the store. And then the time came to where he said that, you know, "I think we're losing money because we're only open from 9 to 5. He said, "I think we need to be open on till at least 8 o'clock. And I said, "Well, that's fine." But I said, "I cannot be here that late on a Wednesday night because we do have church, and I am on church on Wednesday night." And then that went by. Needless to say, I said, if you're going to stay open that late on Wednesday, you're going to have to handle that. I cannot." Well, he dropped that real quick because he wasn't going to be here. Then it came to pass where he says, "You know, I still think we're losing money because we're only open from Monday through Saturday. I think we need to open up on Sunday." I said, "The case is, again, I said, I cannot be here. I said, my God comes first, and I said, I cannot be here on Sunday." So he dropped that idea in a hurry. So it's a case where I was the best salesman they ever had, but I was not going to work in the days that was given to the Lord.
Amen.
Well, way back when my kids were small, I was renting houses back then.
That one don't work.
And I rented a house, and I would get a house that was to get low rent. You know.
All right, try that one. Talk okay. Right into it.
It was like I was looking for less rent, so I didn't want the place to be all fixed up. I did it myself, and every place I moved in, I would always get permission from the landlord, buy my own paint, and when I leave the house, the man would tell me, he said, "I can get more money for this house now than I did when you came." Because I felt like I came from my parents that owned property, and we just was taught to take care of what you had. Today they don't do that.
But back not too
then,
many.
And I never left a house owing somebody something. And I never left a house without giving a 2 weeks, you know, to 3 weeks notice that I was going to move.
Yeah.
And they don't do that no more.
No.
They don't do that at all. I mean, it's horrible.
Go ahead, brother.
One of my favorite passages is in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." So,
amen. It's important to have a Christian work ethic, and that simply means you show up for your job, you do it well, and you do it as unto the Lord, and you do it with the right attitude.
You
yes,
know,
ma'am.
I wanted to share that. When you talked about people taking care of stuff, I know last year when the landlord, he kicked me out because he was getting divorced and he wanted the apartment. So I only had like 30 days. I made it my sole purpose to make sure that this apartment was clean. They didn't give it to me like that. But he called me and said, "I really want to thank you, Maida, because you left the apartment spotless." And now this new property, the owners, they really like me because they have to come and check the air conditioner, and they got to come at least 4 times a year. So the two owners came, I think it was Monday, and it was like, "Wow, this apartment is spotless. Like, it was your own home." I said, "It is my home." So, you know, you got to keep up the stuff. I'm kind of hoping somebody will, you know, donate, or I could inherit a house. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
It brought me to remember to mind is Proverbs 21:22. It says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." And not that your employer be your enemy, but if he's, according to what we're reading, he's an enemy of your soul. And it says, "For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Yeah. And there's a lot of times when that scripture, the Holy Spirit will bring to my mind, yep, I can't.
Right.
The flesh has to die.
Amen. And you have to do that, and it makes such a difference.
It does make a difference. I want to give us real quickly eight principles that we should apply. Eight Christian principles regarding our attitude in the workplace. Whatever your job is, doesn't matter how important or how menial, it applies to us all equally. And these eight principles, I'm going to give them to you rather quickly. Number one, do your job. That's number one. Do your job. You were hired to do a particular job. Do that job. And you know what? Do it well. Do your job. Do it well. My guess is that you were not hired to hide in the work in the break room and play on your phone. My guess is that you were not hired to do that. My guess is that you were hired to do a job. Do your job. Number one. Number two. Do whatever tasks besides that you may be told to do or asked to do. Be willing to do whatever tasks you are asked to do. See, you know what I have in mind here? Years ago, I worked for the sugar refinery. I was young. I was not saved. We were newly married, Diane and I. So I'm going back a few years. This is around 1971. I had a job in the sugar refinery. I did not have a good attitude. I did not respect my supervisor. And let me tell you what it was a union job. So it was very difficult to get fired. And I was a menial laborer. I loaded boxes into boxcars and sacks of sugar. That was kind of what I was doing. Now, if you had a good job, you drove a forklift or a payloader. You know, you drove one of Now, let me tell you, you work in a sugar refinery. Sugar boxes and sugar bags are always falling down. They're always breaking. They're always in the way. And if a supervisor told one of the guys that drove a forklift, hey, clean that up, you know what they're going to say? It won't be nothing that I could repeat here. That's what they're going to say. And then they're going to say, it's not my job. It's not my job. You know, you get somebody else to do that. I'm paid to drive the forklift. That's what I do. So I always wanted to drive the forklift, you see. So but that's not the attitude to have. So you do your job, and then if you're asked or told to do something else, you do that. And you know how you do it? Respectfully. And you do it with the right attitude. You do it not with a grimace and grumbling under your breath and complaining and threatening to go to the union rep. No, you do your job. And if you're asked to do something else, you do it. Remember how many times we read, like right here in 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject. Be subject. What does that mean? Do what you're told. Amen. Let's keep in mind something I think is very, 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 very important. Something I just mentioned a minute ago. Your workplace is your mission field. You are a missionary. You are a missionary. You're not traveling across the world to be a missionary. You're driving to your mission field every day. Now I want to ask you a question. Suppose you were working in a company, a factory, a business, and the boss told you, look, we just hired this guy. He's just come into the United States. And guess what? Hey, you're going to appreciate this. The guy's a missionary. He's a missionary. He's coming to the United States to evangelize. And he needed a job. You know, he's got to make tents like Paul had to make tents. So we hired him. He's going to be working here in the factory with you. Now, how do you think you would look at this missionary? You would look to see if he did his job. You would look to see what his attitude was while he did his job. You would look to see if he was a responsible, reliable, honest worker, because that would tell a whole lot about his character. And it would give you an idea what kind of a Jesus he's preaching. You see, it's all about your actions. It's all about your attitude. It's not just what you say, it's what you do and how you do it, your attitude towards doing it. Go ahead, brother. You had a...
Yeah, I hesitate to share this because it doesn't really add to what you're saying, but the union situation, if you're in some unions anyway, and a boss asks you to do something that's not your job, and you do it, you get in trouble.
That can happen. That's correct.
Yeah, it's
in some jobs. That's correct.
Well, not in a lot of union situations. That's the way it is. You know, it's like you have your job description, and if you step outside of that, then you're taking somebody else's job, and you're
interesting, huh?
Yeah, I do not like unions, but you can't have two bosses.
Yeah. And don't think you can't get fired when you belong to the union, because I'm the example. But, if your actions at work, if your actions and your attitude at work is no different than anybody else's, then what kind of missionary are you in that place? You are a full-time minister. You are a full-time minister. Each and every one of us. We are called to serve Christ, and your workplace, your sphere of influence, that's your mission field. The light is supposed to shine there. And third point, third principle, do it. Do your job without complaint. Without murmuring, without resenting someone, don't grumble, don't go grumbling around the break room, about how bad the pay is and whatever. Do it with the right attitude. Remember, the Bible says do it heartily, do it from the heart. Number four, do your job to the very best of your ability. Not a lick and a promise, but do it well. Do your job, do it well. Remember, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, so you're doing it as unto the Lord. Do it well. Don't you hate it when people shirk what they were supposed to do? They do a terrible job. So whatever it is that you're doing, do it well. And number five, make sure you give your employer what they pay you for. So if they pay you 8 hours for 8 hours work, give them 8 hours work. Give them what they pay for. You're a missionary, remember. You're not shirking responsibility or duty, but you want to do your job, you want to do it well, you want to shine the light right there, and a person who tells me they're Christian, I would generally expect more from them. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I have to tell you, I'm a landlord, so sometimes people tell me, I'm a Christian man, so, I'm going to pay my rent and I'm going to take care of your property and so on. Can I tell you, in most cases, I've been terribly disappointed with those who tell me that they're a Christian man. Three times, my brother and I have rented to pastors. Every time has been a disaster. Every time it's been a disaster. One pastor we rented to moved into a very nice apartment, told me he was a pastor, told me the church he was at. A month after he moved in, he moved his girlfriend in with him. And they fought like cats and dogs. The neighbors next door called me all the time about them yelling and screaming at each other. And then he decided he didn't need to pay the rent like everybody else, because, you know, because he's a Christian. And when I addressed him about it, he said, you know, he said he wanted to know what kind of Christian I was. What kind of Christian are you going to, you know, I'm a Christian man. And I said, you know, you really don't want to go there. You don't want to go there with me right now. You in here living with your girlfriend and you're going to tell me I'm not acting like a Christian. But
yeah. Did you reject
him? I did. I made a move. Yeah. Another Christian pastor that we rented to, my brother had to go and tell this fella he's got to go because he was so far behind on the rent. You know, the fella not only cursed him out, but is putting all kind of hocus pocus curses on the business because, you know, I'm a Christian and we're doing a lot of good in this community. And he called him every kind of curse word you can imagine. And I remember my brother called me. He said, are you going to believe what this preacher just told me? And I said, did you tell him he had to move? He said, I did. I said, well, make sure they move. We don't need no more Christians like that. The parish don't need no more like that. I have one right now. And I don't even want to tell you how much money this man owes me. He has a severe allergy to paying rent. So, and I don't know why I put up with him. I really don't know why I do. But if you tell somebody you're a Christian, would you act like a Christian, please?
Yes.
If you tell somebody you're a pastor, why is it that pastors have the worst reputation in town for shirking their responsibilities, for not paying their bills, for always, always being late? Why is that? If you say you're a Christian, I expect more from you, not less. And if you find out your landlord or your boss or whatever is a Christian, that doesn't mean you can take advantage
of
them.
That's right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am.
Growing up without very much, my mom had a philosophy. Take care of what you have so you can add to it and not have to replace it.
Yep. Yep. All right, number six, go the second mile. Go the second mile, Matthew 5:41. If they compel you to go a mile, 1 mile, go with them two. Go with them. In other words, look for things to do at work. Don't wait for somebody to tell you what needs to be done. If you see something needs to be done, go do it. Go do it. Go take care of it. So you want to have their best interests at heart. Number seven, do your job respectfully. With a willing heart, that means with a smile on your face, he says, be subject to your masters with all fear, with all reverence, with all respect. And finally, remember that promotion comes, the Bible says, not from the east or from the west, but Psalm 75, verse 6, 7, and 8, promotion comes from the Lord. You know, if we're faithful to do our job, do it. Do it well. Do it with the right heart. Do it with the right attitude. Look out for the best interest of your company, your employer. If you do that, you know the Lord will bless you for it. Even if your boss never does. Even if they never appreciate all the sacrifices you've made, the Lord knows, and the Lord's going to bless you. If it means he moves that boss or that supervisor out, or if it means he blesses you with another job or a raise or a promotion, or if he takes you like Joseph. Remember the attitude of Joseph? Potiphar's house always treated it like it was his own. And even when Potiphar's wife treated him false accusations, he winds up thrown in jail. You know what he did? He excelled in jail. I'll be a good example right here. He had a jail ministry, and the Lord promoted him from the prison to the palace. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. We're not men pleasers. We don't just run out and pretend we're busy, pretend we're doing our job when the boss is looking. We do our job. As a Christian, do our job, do it well, do it with the right attitude, do it unto the Lord, do it with a smile, Even when you don't feel like it, even when the boss is grumbling and complaining, you remain respectful. The Lord will bless you for it.
Good service.
Yes, ma'am.
And sort of what you were saying, when I stepped out, you know what happened like 2 years ago. Remember, I called you all in tears that I had to leave my sister's company. You know, I was afraid. I didn't know. You know, I do what I do. I don't get paid a lot. My job goes in and out. But God has been so faithful. When I've had a need, like last year, I had that need that I had to move, and I got called by this nurse to take care of her mama. And then from that young lady, I met another nurse, Melissa, and she introduced me to Virginia Puglis' son, Terry. Lord has been so faithful. You know, I just, little things, and I'm at work, and I want to make them feel loved and comfortable and go the extra mile for them, and God has opened up doors. I mean, God has blessed me so much. He's blessed me so much. Amen. He is so good.
Amen. Doesn't it bless you when you go into a company, a business, maybe a restaurant, people who have tough jobs, whether it's waitresses, waiters, people working behind the counter, doesn't it bless you when they just have a smile on their face and you know, they just, yeah, they have that joy in their heart. You know, that person's a believer right there. And if they were grumbling and they slapping things on the counter and amen. So our attitude is to reflect the Christianity that we profess. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to study together, to look at your word. And I pray, Lord, that you do help us to apply what we hear and what we read to our own lives. Help us to have the right heart, the right attitude, proper respect, proper regard for the workplace, the property of others. And Lord, help us to remember we're missionaries. We're missionaries there. Help us, Lord, to let your light shine through our actions, through our words, and even through our attitudes. This we pray, that you would use us, Lord, that others might see Christ in us. Even if they never walk into a church door, that they see a Christian. They see a Christian in the workplace. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Amen.